Good morning. This is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley. And once again, I'm in that holy place where I feel that it's necessary for me to be very careful and thoughtful. And I hope you will be. This is Easter Sunday. Now, someone's going to be wearing a beautiful dress because it's Easter, and the fellows maybe polish their boots to go to church with their girlfriends and their wives because it's Easter. And many people will go to church today throughout all Christendom because it is Easter. But I want to share with you that there was a tremendous amount of cross-referencing and disappointment, frustration, elation, and joy in and around Jerusalem because Jesus was risen from the dead. Risen! How can that be? Now, something Muhammad could not achieve, something that all the prophets could not manage, Jesus had managed and done very well. He was back from the dead. And it's very important for us to remember that we serve a risen Savior. It's Hallelujah time. We should, on the boulevard of Hallelujah, sing praises to the God and King. For Jesus is certainly King of kings and Lord of lords. He is altogether lovely, the fairest of 10,000, the bright, the morning star. Jesus is our Savior. And we remember him today because it's Easter. Oh, I've heard all the arguments and read about them, that Easter was originally a pagan festival, and I dare say it's absolutely true. The wonderful thing is this, that in the truth that the world accepts, there is a truth that God presented and accepted, and that was your salvation. Before the beginning of the world, God knew who you were, and he chose you with a choice that baffles the mind to think about. Why should he be concerned with little old me? I'm smaller than an amoeba, tucked away somewhere, and my life is just like a vapor gone up. Now I'm older, I panic every once in a while in my mind and heart. There's no monument that's going to be erected for me. There's nothing going to be called Cyril Stevens Day. Nothing. But this is Jesus' day. And amidst all the upheavals that he caused by coming back from the dead, the Lord Jesus is alive today. If you don't believe that, then you've not read the scriptures and you don't understand the love of God. I share this with you in the most emphatic way I can, with word pictures. For instance, I think gathering in Jerusalem that day years ago, there was a blind man they used to call blind Bartimaeus. Now his vision was extraordinarily good. Suddenly he had had his vision given to him. He had been blind from birth, and yet this man now could see. And his cry to the priests and the authorities and the religious people was simply this: this one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. And he didn't even know who Jesus was, except that this holy man had made a puddle of clay and anointed it upon his eyes. Then he had washed in the pool of Siloam and he could see. Oh, over there. There are some people in a little huddle. Up till now they had been beggars. They had begged because they had leprosy. They had begged because they had a terminal illness. And it had been with them all their lives. They'd learned to beg. And they cried out with loud voices that they were unclean. Stay away from me, but oh, please give me some help. And so they had held their hands out or their baskets or their hats. and they had said, please help me. And people gave them some money, not to buy things that were derogatory for them, but just so that they could exist. And they existed rather nicely now, because all of that leprosy was gone. It was absolutely gone. And they were in this huddle, not knowing how to integrate with the blind people. And over in the yonder place, there's another little group. They were dumb. They couldn't speak. They knew the words. They knew how to place their thoughts together, but they couldn't speak. They were dumb people. The Lord Jesus loosed their tongues and they spake. And it was a remarkable thing. They could barely stop talking. And here they were agitated to present themselves to these other people. They wanted to be part of the party that knew that Jesus Christ was alive from the dead. And it was wonderful because he had touched them. One of the most amazing, in my opinion, scriptures is recorded for us in Luke's gospel, in Mark's gospel, where the Lord Jesus, opening his ministry, reached out and touched a leper. The leper had known no touch from anybody that didn't have leprosy, and Jesus was pure, and Jesus was just like the driven snow in his life. The leprosy departed his body. Jesus was there. And in the presence of Jesus, he wanted everybody to know, look at me, look at me. My body has been wasted, but now my body is healthy and strong. I am a leper, ex-leper. And over yonder in these groups, there was another man who had been crippled from his birth. People said that if you could get down in the waters after the angel had touched the waters and troubled them and moved them around, if you were the first in the pool, you could get healed. And so he laid at the pool and he wanted to be healed, but no healing came. Every time that he thought he was going to be all right and get into that pool first, why, somebody got in front of him. And he wanted so much to be healed. And the Lord Jesus said to him, what do you want? Why do you cry out? Why do you say, Son of God, have mercy on me? Isn't that a selfish call? His response was, no, I just want God's blessing and I want to be able to walk like other people. And Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. He got up and he took up his bed and he walked, and it was wonderful. He could run and it was tremendous. And the people that knew him from his birth said, after 38 years, this is a man who has received the healing of the Lord Jesus Christ in his body. Look at him. And he jumped and he shouted. People couldn't hold him down. He was so full of the power and the presence of Jesus Christ the Lord. He was so full of the love of God. He was overflowing to tell people, Jesus touched me, and now I'm no longer the same. I've altered. I am a fit man. These are the stories. There was one whose ears were unstopped. Jesus touched his ears and his hearing was replaced. But most of all, there was a little group that was quite wonderful, and people were speaking in hushed tones. They didn't quite know what to say. And I see in my great canvas that I'm painting with words, I see that it's Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. Friends of Jesus, the family had taken in Jesus many times, fed him many meals, and rejoiced in his presence. But they were ashamed to admit that they had said things that they shouldn't have said. For instance, Mary would be looking at Martha, remembering that Martha said, "Lord, if you had been here, our brother had not died." And then Mary went to Jesus and she said exactly the same thing. "If only you'd have been here 4 days ago." But Jesus deliberately stayed away for 4 days so that people would know that he had conquered death. Now this is beyond the scope of man's understanding. Lazarus was there, and I think these three people had attracted quite a group of others, and these others were all talking about how remarkable it was that Lazarus had come back from the dead. And one of the things that they were marveling at was this, that the Lord Jesus had very simply died on the cross. And the power of the cross, the Lord Jesus gave life. And before the cross, Jesus gave life to Lazarus. And they were talking in hushed tones, I think. And as they talked, they were remembering. They had doubted. They had wondered. They knew the arguments, the discussions that go on after death. There's a mysterious sort of resurrection. And they knew that after death, this resurrection would take place. But Jesus has said, "I am the resurrection. I am the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." And nobody can take that from anyone else. I am alive today because of the love of God, because of the grace of God, because of the patience of God, because of the love that reached from heaven to where I was. I am alive. I should have been dead. The times my body has brushed itself with death is too innumerable to talk about. But I have to talk to you this way and tell you that the Lord Jesus, as it were, reached in. My name was called and said very simply, "Arise." And my chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth and followed Jesus. And that's my testimony in a nutshell. How many times he has taken me. Well, I'm going to put that onto my canvas somehow and let people see that in this little group there are people from today who have been brushed with death in different ways. Now, I'm not talking about out-of-body experiences. That's jargon that I don't understand. But I do understand that Jesus is alive and powerful and mighty today. Well, it's Resurrection Day. Jesus came back. He was walking toward Bethany, and I pick up the story where two of the disciples were walking towards Bethany from Jerusalem. The Lord Jesus joined himself to them. They were talking, and behold, this is in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, the last chapter of Luke. "Then rose Peter, and he ran to the sepulchre. Stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass." That was his introduction. And how do you put on the face of this wonderful man of God the bewilderment, joy, frustration, and lack of understanding? How do you build that into the expression of his face? But I would that I could do it. We read this. "He returned from the sepulchre and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. Their words seemed to the apostles as idle tales, and they believed not. But then when Peter got up and ran down, as I've already said, he saw for himself. The stone was rolled away, and the linen clothes were neatly folded, and he was amazed. The amazement lasted a long time. We read this, that two of these men that were walking on the road came to the village of Emmaus, which from Jerusalem is about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all things which had happened. Now these three, two disciples and Jesus, were walking, talking, and it wasn't revealed to the disciples that they were talking with Jesus. They were just talking to a stranger who picked up the path with them. And behold, two of them that went that day to the village of Emmaus, verse 13 here, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, and they walked, talked together of all these things that had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And I'm saying to you today, if you are understanding what the blood means, and if you're comprehending the blood of Jesus in your life and the resurrection morning, if you're understanding that wonderful thing that he is not here, but he is alive, if you're understanding that, these two men were absolutely amazed at what took place. It's interesting to read verse 16. Their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk, and are sad? One of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto Jesus, art thou a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. We trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Now, lots of people know about Jesus, and they know about him, but they don't trust him. Maybe you're one of those people, I don't know. But I have great news for you. He is alive today and will be alive forever and forever. Then Jesus said to them, O fools, and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Jesus to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. Came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it, and gave to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew it was Jesus. He vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us in the way? And while he opened to us the scriptures, they arose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared unto Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. As they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and frightened, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, why are ye troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands, my feet, it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. When he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they yet believed not for joy, they wondered. He said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and something from the honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them, and said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send you the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. It came to pass, while he blessed them, that he parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. And this great doctor, Luke, ends this piece of scripture by saying, amen. Isn't it wonderful that our Lord Jesus is alive, that our Lord Jesus blesses us today? Our Lord Jesus opens the eyes of those that cannot see and puts hearing aids in the head of people who cannot hear, in such a way that they hear the word of God, and the word of God releases them from the imprisonment of deafness, the imprisonment of blindness, the imprisonment of being a cripple. By his stripes we are healed, and the healing comes that when Jesus says so, not when we want so, but when he says so. I think the word that comes to mind, in my mind, is that our cry should be, O Lord, touch me. There's a hymn, a modern one. The chorus says, He touched me. I'm no longer the same. Would you be touched by the presence of the Lord Jesus? Would you be touched by the presence of his love? Will you be filled with the Spirit that he has given to us? Will you have your heart changed over without an operation, that is, without the operation of laying on a table and a man cutting you open and replacing your heart? Would you instead have your heart totally changed as you are? And he does it so secretly, so silently, so beautifully, so completely, so absolutely, because Jesus does things well. All things that he does, they are revealed. All things that he did are revealed. And this resurrection day is a wonderful day if you will put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and be resurrected with him and live forever in his courts. I have to stop. But I tell you, there is so much to tell you and to explain to you and to challenge you with. I wish I had hours, but I don't. And I'm grateful for this half hour where we just spend the time talking about the scriptures. But it's vain and foolish unless you know him and receive him. So pray with me now, please. Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that you will reveal yourself today in the plight that we find ourselves in the circumstance that we are living in the way that is opened up for us to see beyond the thoughts of man and the politics of man, that we may reach deeply into the presence of our dear Lord Jesus Christ. Will you pour your Spirit out? And will you pour into our hearts his Spirit? Almighty God, you have said, ask, it shall be given. Give, please, to us this day, not just a happy day, but a day of great challenge and rejoicing, that we may join this vast picture of people who have known him, touched by him, changed by him, kept by him. Lord, we come asking, don't let me escape so great salvation. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I'm so glad you listened. Thank you. Goodbye. Rejoice in the resurrected Jesus.